Hello there! Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week I'm going to discuss the sixth episode from Ahsoka titled Far, Far Away. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you are a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations. And boy, if you thought the episode last week of Ahsoka that we discussed was an excellent one, I gotta tell you, I think this one might be my favorite of the series, this episode six here. It's just seeing so much of the payoffs of the season come out to be and the way it was executed and constructed and the writing, I just couldn't love it more. And, you know, this is just another great one. Also, just some, you know, spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't seen Ahsoka Episode 6, Far, Far Away. You're even warned at this point. You know what we're doing in this season. Come on now. Also, I've pre-recorded this episode, so there will be no Cloud City Gossip in this episode. Just a heads up, as the next, basically through the rest of Ahsoka here, Episodes 6, 7, and 8 will be pre-recorded, so there won't be a Cloud City Gossip on any of those episodes. You've been forewarned on all that stuff. We'll cover as much of the news as we can, basically in once we're done with our Ahsoka coverage here, kind of then. But we're also in this period of, you know, the New Year's coming out. A lot of people are on holiday breaks, and there isn't a whole lot of news that usually comes out during this time period. But, you know, Rebel Moon did come out this past Thursday at the time of this release of the episode, so I hope that future Anthony, because at the time he's recording it before the movie is out, loves it, and he's probably on a second or third viewing at this point. But I hope that you are too, because we're going to be breaking down that film and that universe in grand detail, you know, very soon as well. We're going to have Craig Dickinson from Reading Between the Reels on to get all into the Rebel Moon goodness of it all. So just be on the lookout for that in your feeds coming very soon. Plus, we have wonderful things for the Ahsoka rest of the way through here, so you don't want to miss out on any of that stuff. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode as well with Ross and the previous one with Dennis from Podcast Stardust as well. So we've got so much great stuff going on here at Force Ghost Conversations, and a lot more great stuff coming ahead in 2024 as I look at my board of episodes I want to do, which, you know, this is amazing stuff. We're definitely in a choice. We're not spoiled for choice here in terms of the episodes here. We got a lot coming out. We got a lot of fun stuff on the way, and you definitely want to be subscribed to make sure that you are staying up to date with all the fun stuff that we're doing here at Force Ghost Conversations. So yeah, episode six. It is titled Far, Far Away, and it's directed by Jennifer Getzinger, who I believe this is her first foray into the galaxy Far, Far Away, and written by none other than Dave Filoni. Now, I'm pretty sure you've all have seen the title here. I mean, it's just a great one. Far, Far Away, where you know, it falls back on that kind of joke that Filoni said at Celebration last year, where they're all asking him at the Celebration stage, where is Ezra? And he's like, he's far, far away. And so it kind of pays off that little joke here. He wasn't lying, but he was also providing a misleading truth. Such a Filoniism of it all. You have to think about it, but yet at the same time, there is a bit of truth in all it, right? It's that line that Ahsoka says. There's a bit of truth in legends, which kind of could be a theme for the series so far here. I mean, wow. You know, the whole concept of where they are at here, this Peridia, the pathway to Peridia, it is a graveyard for the Purgil, which, you know, this is like a story that Baylan Skoll said that he learned about in the Jedi Temple. It's so neat to have this come to life right here. Like, it just makes you wonder how many of the stories that exist in the Jedi lore are actually real, that just, you know, because whether they weren't recorded properly or traditionally passed down orally. And you know what can happen when people tells one person another story, tells one person another story, and it's never codified in a perfect way. Manipulations and changes can happen there. I mean, look at the High Republic, for example. The Leveler is out there, and a lot of people see the Leveler. And, you know, my wife and I just finished the story that in the High Republic where, like, literally people have seen it, and it's one of the characters from 150 years later telling the fairy tale that was passed down through the generations. So it's just like, how much of that is true? I mean, is Mortis one of them too? We're going to talk about Mortis a little bit in this episode here, but it's just like all this stuff, is it just in a different galaxy and got lost over time? Like, what is the deal here? And there's so much of that felonism of tip of the iceberg storytelling that George Lucas kind of instilled within him that is prominent within this episode, right? This Purgle land, Peridia, a land of dreams and madness, as Balin Skull described it. It's just wonderful. We learn that this is a Night Sister's ancient homeworld. The Night Sisters from Dathomir are prominently featured in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and many great episodes and arcs of that. I mean, Asajj Ventress, another example of the Night Sisters of Dathomir. You know, Darth Maul, that character originates from Dathomir, and was kind of manipulated by the Night Sisters and all that, plus Savage Opress. These wonderful characters that are developed within the Clone Wars have this ancestry within the Night Sisters, which begin right here. You get to see the Great Mother and these other two ladies that were communicating with Morgan Elsbeth, who also, as we learned earlier in the season, is a member of the Night Sisters from Dathomir. And this is their home run. They were connecting via the dark magic, right? What is this dark magic? All this tip of the iceberg stuff that you're like, what is this grand unit? First off, we're in a whole different galaxy, not even in the galaxy far, far away that we typically talk about here. We're in like adjacent galaxy. You're like, this is the Milky Way, for example, in our world. Here is galaxy Timbuktu over here. What is the deal with like all this out there otherness? What are we doing with, like, in terms of the tip of the iceberg of this all? Like, what is everything out here? It's just a vast new world where, you know, the rules that we had before us may not necessarily apply. They talk about Night Sisters riding the Purgle here, and my question is, how did the Night Sisters get from here to Dathomir? What was that journey like? Is there, you know, this is the end for Purgle on Peridia. Peridia is a graveyard for them, which I found to be really cool, because it's like, you know, the series is talking a lot about like journeys, right? The journeys of going from one place to another. And what is the ultimate journey? It's life. It's life and death. You have birth, you live, and then death, right? And it's just the metaphor for life here is that journey, that final journey, that passageway. And although it can be seen as a graveyard and a place of madness, as Balin talks about, there's a lot of people that make it their home. Like, they don't see it as this death trap of a place. They choose to look at it at the other side. It's not all death and destruction. There's still life here. That Howler, although it looks not gnarly in many ways, is still a living, breathing creature that has its own personality, and it's not full of death and destruction as it may look appear on the surface level, right? It looks very much like a warg from The Lord of the Rings. But no, it's just kind of just a big old wolf thing, which kind of is right up the Filoni aspects of his favorite creatures as well. The Na'vi too, just another aspect of this. Like, they living in their very finest lives here. You know, I'm gonna spoil the end there. They're with Ezra and they're moving from place to place. They know how to survive. They're survivalists first and foremost, but they have their own like kind and peaceful, I should say. They're pacifists in many ways, and you know, they have this like three-piece suits and all that, and they're just going from one place to another when they need to in order to survive, which is just, you know, it's not all that it cracks out to be, right? If you want to find doom and gloom in something, it's there. But if you also want to find the good and stuff, that can also be present as well. So just always thinking about the aspects of the galaxy far, far away that are, like, you know, applicable to our everyday lives, which is what we typically do here at Force Ghost Conversations. So I want to talk at first, because most of this episode has nothing to do with Ahsoka. And, you know, cue the alarm bells. It's very similar to, like, one of those episodes of the Book of Boba Fett where, you know, I think it's the Return of the Mandalorian, where, you know, all the crowd flipped on the Book of Boba Fett and were like, the best episode is where Boba Fett's not even in it. And, you know, it's like, it's just the title. No one was, at least from what I recall on the online discourse, no one was complaining that Ahsoka is in the episode for like 2 minutes as her and Hu Yang have an initial discussion and then go off in the mouth of the Purrgil. We'll pick up her story in episode 7. But this one is really focusing on the other group that is already on their way to Peridia. They're getting to Peridia. They land in Peridia and they come across Thrawn. We'll get to Thrawn in all of his glory in a second here. But the first thing I want to talk about is the ultimate choice here of Sabine. And Ahsoka reflects on it with Hu Yang, which I think is an important thing. And they get to the meat of it all. There's the fear of Sabine's choice, right? Ahsoka is talking with Hu Yang about, like, I fear, not necessarily I fear the choice that she made, but I fear that she was fearful in making her choice. Like, was it selfish? Did she feel like it was the only way out, right? And it's like that fine line that we always talk about between the masses and the individual, right? And this is something that Ahsoka kind of grapples with as a person that is her mentor, that kind of feels like she has this lineage of Anakin Skywalker within her that she's now probably passing on to Sabine. You know, she is perhaps dealing with that whole concept of why she got into the Jedi to begin with, right? Why she wanted to take up the Force or learn to take up the Force and become a disciple of the Jedi teachings, or a Boken Jedi teaching, as Balin kind of announces what they are after the temple fell. Whereas, like, if she had destroyed the orb, the map, if you will, to Peridia, right, you lose Ezra, perhaps, but Thrawn doesn't return, leading to ultimate war. But here's the thought process on that one, is they're assuming that Thrawn comes back here. They're taking out a whole ton of other variables here in them getting there, and who knows what happens if Thrawn is even there, Ezra's even there, right? She's taking the chance that there is Ezra there, and with her and Ezra, that there maybe could be a chance that they could perhaps thwart Thrawn, defeat him. Maybe he's already gone too. No one's ever considering that Thrawn's ever, that he may already be out of the picture. What it actually is like out here, she saw an opportunity to make do on a promise that she made and went forward with it one way or the other. Now I'm kind of circling back on the Sabine of it all here, right? Because I'm starting to think through that there are a lot more other variables at play here that make it unfair to totally pin what happens in the rest of the season on her. And perhaps what happens beyond that with Thrawn's return back to the galaxy far, far away. Sure, you could take the safe route, which in a way may be the fearful route of saying, like, all right, I'm destroying this, right? These are the great questions that are offered up here because, right, Padme falls off of the ship and attack the clones, and Anakin wants to go down there, but then they go back to their duty to taking out Count Dooku because they're like, if we take out Dooku now, we could end the war. You know, Padme's okay overall there, and it's a different example. But the same kind of concept applies of what is the line between doing something for the masses and doing something for the individual. Or for one individual, per se, right? What is the role of a Jedi in the system? And these are grand scale consequences and things like that. But, you know, it's just one of those deals that you need to consider on a case-by-case basis and think through the facts of everything. You know, is there a chance that Ezra is out there? Maybe this is a chance to go see him. Maybe it's a chance to confirm that Thrawn is out there. You know, maybe she's not considering all of the factors along the way of how do I get back? Is there a chance for us to get back? Could they even get back if they get there? There's so many other things that go along the way. And if she saw this as a chance to potentially find Ezra and save him and bring him home, which, you know, we find out that's something that he does desperately want to do. He doesn't want it to stay with the Nadi forever. It's just, you know, I'm it's a lot more convoluted and complex. And I'm glad that Ahsoka, we're going to talk about this later on, has a bit more of a coming to reality about it and saying like, okay, you know, I understand the thought process here. I'm going to support you like my master supported me in this process. But she's kind of seeing the more nuances of it and not necessarily seeing it just as a face value. This is a fearful choice. She made it selfishly, etc. I think that is wise and valid of Ahsoka. Now that she kind of had this rebirth regeneration with Anakin, again, we're talking about these journeys here, the life, death, and rebirth of it all, right? All that stuff is into play here, which, you know, I just wanted to talk about that a bit more at length here. I may have just rambled inherently, incoherently about stuff, but I think maybe there's some bit of truth in what I just spoke about there. Now, a bit of more about truth here, a person that's always looking for truths in the great system, Baylan Skoll, right? We learned that he was... he saw the temple burn. He survived Order 66 somehow. Maybe we'll get that story in some capacity one day. But he's very clear in his directive of why he's there. He kind of speaks to it a bit more here. He's talking about bringing the cycle to an end. He talks about, you know, we knew I saw this and I had to make sense of it, right? So I looked through history. I saw the rise and fall of everything, right? Things rise, things fall, something takes its place, they rise, they fall, something takes its place, and it's just an endless cycle. And he's like, I need to bring the cycle to an end. That's his purpose in this series, right? Ahsoka has now a refound purpose of being a teacher and a mentor and being a force for good and doing it underneath the pretenses of, you know, I have some basic teachings of the Jedi, but I'm going to teach what I consider to be the right way, and I'm not going to be bogged down by a dogma and, you know, a system that could potentially keep me from doing something that I think is right. Now, on the adverse side of that coin, Baylan Skoll is like, I need to bring just the cycles of it all to end. I need to bring the Jedi and the Sith down. I need to take out the cycles of oppression, the Republic, the Empire. They all need to fall. It needs to just restart with something new. As we learn for, you know, episode 8 later, he's looking for the Mortis gods, or, you know, is this a connection to Mortis, right? He's looking for, again, he found the key that he was looking for. He found that those stories that he was told in the Jedi Temple are, to a degree, true. He found out that the pathway to Peridia, the Purgle Death Yard, the place where the Night Sisters originate from, is real. There's another galaxy out there neighboring our own, and probably other galaxies like it, and he's looking for that grand power that can give him the agency to end the cycle that he saw in front of him, that failed him. The system that failed him, the same system that failed Ahsoka, they went on two different paths here. And Ahsoka just says, I'm going to create my own system. And he says, I'm going to create my own system by ending the old system. So, you know, all those questions have come out to be, is this the way to Mortis? So, what is his ultimate goal there? Is he trying to assume himself as the father? Is he trying to become the son? Is he trying to be the daughter? Is he trying to end the Mortis gods? Is he trying to end the Force? I don't know, but these are the grand questions that this episode poses, along with, you know, even on a more granular level, thinking about the choices of Sabine and Ahsoka's reflection on those. Now, let's get to the big stuff of it all here. Not only is Ezra returning in this episode, but we'll talk about Thrawn first. Thrawn and all of his glory is back, and he's played by Lars Mikkelsen, who voiced the character in Star Wars Rebels seasons 3 and 4. And boy, we got that little hint of him in that trailer snippet, but now he is back. The return of the king in some way, shape, or form. I mean, Thrawn's one of my favorite characters. I love the villain and his approach to things. I've loved the character since Heir to the Empire, when I first read that many years ago. And, you know, bringing him back into the Star Wars fold via Star Wars Rebels was such an amazing experience. I remember that trailer reveal at Star Wars Celebration London in 2016, which basically stole the show at that whole convention. I loved the return, the music, Kevin Kiner's incredible organ score with that accompanying work, with the night troopers around him going, Thrawn, Thrawn chanting, almost Lord of the Rings-esque in terms of his return. I mean, Enoch, this new captain of his guard that is wearing this like wonderful mask, like face on his helmet. It's just, really, I want to know more about Enoch too. What's the deal with all that? Tell me. I just love that first line there. What was first just a dream has now become a frightening reality for those who may oppose us. I mean, it's just brilliant, brilliantly written. Of just Thrawn and the delivery as well. I mean, as soon as he said that, I knew that Lars Mikkelsen is not just Thrawn in animation, but also in live action as well. This actor certainly has embodied the lore. And I think I recall him saying that he didn't go back and listen, rewatch Rebels and look his performance through that so he could create kind of a newer one. But the seamless through line is right there. And it's, you know, it's just brilliantly done. As Thrawn is maniacal and he is calculating and all knowing and ever present as the character that is first depicted in book form and then animated form and now finally in live action. So they send out Sabine to kind of abide by the plan that, or not plan, but the agreement that her and Baylan had. But I think Sabine should know better. Thrawn was definitely using her as bait to draw out Ezra. We can talk about that a later date in time, but I think she should know better. That was kind of nearsighted on her end to think that they would just let her go and without any issue at all. I mean, that was kind of, come on, Sabine, you know better. But then finally, when you think through this episode, I didn't think we'd get the ending that we did. I thought that we would get, I didn't even think we'd get Thrawn that early in the episode. When you look at it on paper here, I thought that we would have gotten, before I saw the episode, I kind of had a feeling that this would be the Purrgil, the arrival at this new planet, and then they'd have to spend some time hunting for whatever they were looking for here, and then maybe at the end Thrawn would show up. I thought it would be a lot more slower paced. But in fact, it was quite the opposite. I mean, as soon as they get to this planet, they are greeted by the Great Mother and the fellow Night Sisters there. Thrawn is almost within the next 5 to 10 minutes brought into the fray. And you get a sense of a lot of the different aspects of this planet. You know, they see it as a lot of death and destruction, but there's still life, as we talked about. You got the Howler and the Naughty, etc. And then I didn't even think we'd get to Ezra. I thought maybe Sabine would go off with the Naughty, and then that's kind of how it ended on a cliffhanger there. But no. One more thing, Ezra is here, played by none other than Iman Esfandi. And boy, the Ezra vibes are 100% on track, if you ask me. Iman is almost a carbon copy in terms of the acting and delivery of the lines from what was created by Dave Filoni in Star Wars Rebels, but also I want to give all the props in the world to Taylor Gray for voicing the character and providing so much life for him to this point. I mean, it's almost like he got the voice down so well, too. I mean, geez, this might as well be Taylor Gray's voice on the character. Maybe one of those like mall situations where it's Sam Witwer doing the voice and on top of the actor. It's very well done, and the mannerisms are there as well. You get to hear Ezra's theme, the great theme that Kevin Kiner developed for Star Wars Rebels, swirling in the background. It's excellent. And of course, he's like, I'm ready to go home. I knew I could count on you. Thanks for finding me. It's been a while. And then he asks her, how did you get here? And Sabine is playing a little coy about that. She's like, let's enjoy the moment right now. I'm happy that I found you. I'm happy, etc. She's got some explaining to do. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about here is kind of Thrawn being like, I'm going to need to require some of that dark magic again. I need some help, Night Sisters, just in case that they're not able to bring down Sabine and Ezra now that they discovered him and all that stuff. And the fact that Ahsoka may be appearing out of hyperspace here soon, too. And they talk about this thing, the threat of destiny and the dark magic. I mean, this, again, so much tip of the iceberg stuff that I was just like, I want to know more. And we're going to get so much more now that Filoni is kind of leading this creative charge here at Lucasfilm. But I will need to take the words of Qui-Gon and be patient. Yes, Phantom Menace was on at the gym today. And, of course, it was the scene where he just encounters Darth Maul, and then he's on the Naboo starship heading out to Coruscant with Anakin and Obi-Wan, and he's like, well, we should be patient. And that's basically the lesson and guidance that I'm giving myself here in regards to all these, like, things here, right? What are these Mortis connections here, potentially? What's Baylan really looking for in terms of power? What is Peridia? Let's learn more about Peridia. What are the different creatures and people that call this home versus people trying to leave this place? Night Sisters, Great Mother, Dark Magic, Thread of Destinies, Thrawn. How did he survive? What is he doing to survive? It looks like they have very few numbers yet, but they've created a Star Destroyer that is ready to go back in this ring. All this amazing stuff here is certainly just the tip of the iceberg of it all. And we'll be back very soon, next week, with talking about episode 7 and then episode 8, of course. We've got a great guest lined up for episode 8, so very excited to dive into all of that. So I thank you folks for continuing to stay with us as we go through the Ahsoka of everything here. It's been so much fun to finally talk about this show in great length and great detail and to examine the various themes that are presented here that we can maybe take into our daily lives and see how they affect also the Star Wars canon of it all. If you want to continue the conversation with us, again, we're on Twitter, Hive, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Just search Force Ghost Conversations and you'll find us in some capacity. Also, if you want to support the show via other means, a subscription on your favorite podcast of choice goes a long way, but leaving a rating and a review also helps as we can break the algorithm and become more popular, allow other people to find the show a lot more easily than just by searching our name. If you want to support the show via other means, we have a TeePublic site, which is where you can get Force Ghost Conversations related merchandise. And I know they're running sales frequently for the holiday season on that platform. So just go to that site. And we also have a link in our episode description. And you can search for Force Ghost Conversations and find the various things available. We also have a Patreon site where, for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a ton of different Force Ghost Conversations goodies, including extra episodes, the ability to ask questions to be answered on the show, to share stories, all that fun stuff can be available on our Patreon site, which again, a link is in the episode description. And you can find the various tiers available and find one that suits you. And if you want to, support us on that tier. So with that, folks, that is all that I had for this week's episode. We'll be back in your podcast feeds very soon with a brand new episode talking about episode 7 of Ahsoka, keeping the good vibes and the good train rolling. I mean, come on, Thrawn and Ezra in one episode, plus Ahsoka coming back in the next one. It doesn't get much better than that, folks. So we'll be back very soon to chat about all that great stuff. So until then, may the Force be with you. Take care. ¶¶